Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The selected lesson for our consideration this evening is that Old Testament lesson recorded for us in the book of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 61. Dear Christian friends, have you ever read something what seems like it must have been a million times? And yet, due to the circumstances in life or whatever else it might be, as you read through it this time, something you'd never seen before comes jumping out at you and grabs your attention. And that was me this week with this lesson in our Old Testament. There's an interesting phrase in there. It's actually the theme for our sermon this evening. God says to us that Isaiah, or Jesus Christ, has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, maybe it's because in my pampered little life, I've never really felt like I was entirely out of favor with God. At least not for long periods of time before I snapped my senses and went running back to the Word of God and listened to all of the blessings that it has recorded there for us. But for whatever reason, as I read these words this year, with everything that's going on, I thought to myself immediately, well, that would be pretty nice. A year of God's favor poured down upon us, his people? And let's admit it, right? I wouldn't exactly describe 2020 that way. It doesn't exactly feel like God has been pouring out his blessings upon us by the bowlful this year. Things have even seemed tough and hard, almost as if at times God is turning his back. That's kind of where Israel was as Isaiah speaks the words of our lesson today. They're in a pretty dark place. The book of Isaiah, we've talked about plenty over the last several weeks, is one of those books where the message isn't always so great for the people of God. Isaiah has to come and bluntly announce the sin that has captivated God's people. In fact, Isaiah's book starts out like this. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. And the results? We know them well, right? It would be total devastation for God's people. They would literally be wiped from the map of the face of the earth. Those who were not killed as Babylon came sweeping through would be carted off into captivity. Things seemed pretty bleak. But in the words of our lesson today, God allows Isaiah to proclaim a very different message to the people of God. Here in chapter 61, we are allowed to witness one of those amazing gems of the book of Isaiah the prophet. As God calls his people back to him again and announces the joy that will be theirs. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. No doubt, as Isaiah speaks these words to God's people, they were meant to evoke pictures of what is known as the year of Jubilee for them. In the nation of Israel, every 49 years, all of the land was supposed to revert back to its original owners, so that all of that promise that God had given his people as they entered that land of his would be remembered and rejoiced over as it went back to the individual families. It's kind of a beautiful picture, isn't it? For a people that are supposed to be carted off into deportation, to know that this year of Jubilee is going to come and God is going to allow them back into their nation once again. Of course, the picture is far more than that too, isn't it? It's not just a comforting picture for the people who had been deported into Babylon, but as we know later on, Jesus himself is going to use these words as he stands in front of a synagogue full of people. It's the book of Isaiah that he'll open up. He'll find this section, and having read it to them, he'll tell them, "Today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled." And just like that, you and I, in our day in which we live, are pulled into this message of our God. It's not just Israel in Babylon, but all of God's people everywhere who have struggled against the captivity, against sin in the world that we live in, who fight mightily against despair and depression that seek to snap our hearts and pull us away from our God. Deal with things like pandemics or just everyday sickness. We have to fight off the darkness of death and all that comes with it so regularly in our lives. It's for us too that God speaks these words to us. A time is coming. In fact, a time is here when God will dispel all of that. It's for us and for this messed up world of ours that Christ himself comes into our world. It's because of death and its seeming defeat of us that he will allow it to touch him and claim him even on the cross, defeating it in his resurrection for every one of us, giving us his perfection that we might be heirs of heaven itself, heirs of every promise that God gives to his people here. People who can look forward to that amazing year of Jubilee that God has in store for every one of us. And yet, fellow Christians, that year is not something as forgettable as 365 days, which easily gets swallowed up into other memories and forgotten. No. It's more of a reality in which we live every moment of our lives. Listen again as Isaiah speaks of it. "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." He You see it there? Through the lens of Christ and everything that he has done for us, joy can once again pierce the darkness of the consequences of sin in this world. Happiness can dispel the panic of pandemic that has overcome our world. Christ and what he has done conquers all of it and extends comfort to every one of us. With this in hand, dear brothers and sisters, well, we've got to do something with it, don't we? And as you listen to the verbs, you hear it in our lesson this evening. Isaiah says that God has now anointed him so that he can preach, so that he can proclaim, he says it twice, so that he can comfort, so that he can bestow all of this on everyone that he comes into contact with. So God has done it for every one of us, giving us this glorious gospel of his, reminding us again of what all the promises are, so that we can hold it out, even as we hold on to it in the world around us, so that we can proclaim it to a world that is trapped in darkness, so that we might be the light that dispels all of it with the joy of knowing a Savior who loves us and has conquered sin and death and hell for all of us. I want you to notice how that changes the way that God looks at his people then. He says, they are now oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And before we get too far ahead of ourselves, notice also how that happens. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Again, dear friends, as we peer through the lens of the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ, that God does all the work through his means of grace, through word and sacraments. He turns us into mighty oaks that stand against the winds of worry in the world around us. He strengthens us with his word, with his body and blood, with the water of our baptisms, giving us that assurance again and again that we are his people, that he stands beside us in the hardship and the trouble. He stands with us as we hold out his word in this world in which we live. The year of the Lord's favor. Sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? And admittedly, it's something that I struggled to see until I looked at the words of this lesson. But to tell you the truth, it includes 2020. It's not just 2020, of course. It's every day that you and I have ever lived. It's the eternity that God has prepared for every one of us. And today he reminds us, it really belongs to you, so that you can hold it out to others in everything you do. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that transcends all understanding, may it guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.